Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Daniel Dickinson at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, why women must be equal partners in peace efforts, and how solar energy is helping Senegalese women farmers tackle climate change. But first, when natural disasters strike, a lack of gender equality can mean the difference between life and death. That's according to Robert Glasser, head of the UN's Disaster Risk Reduction Office, UNISDR. He's one of more than 100 heads of UN agencies and international organisations who've signed up to the International Geneva Gender Champions Initiative. Mr. Glasser told Daniel Johnson why the issue is so important, both within his organisation and in the field.
There are so many reasons why I'm motivated by that issue. First of all, I've seen the benefits in terms of quality of decisions that are taken when you have not just men in a room, but men and women in a room contributing to the discussion. Of course, each individual comes at things differently and they're different personalities types, but there really is an important element of the quality of the decision that's linked to the diversity and gender diversity in particular. I think it creates a different mood in an office, and I've seen, at least in terms of the internal quality of decisions an organization takes, that the gender equality is really important.
Now, you've worked in big institutions, big companies, and you are an Australian national. What do you think you can bring to the table?
Well, I've seen the way, for example, gender mainstreaming doesn't work from working in big organizations. I've seen plenty of examples where gender mainstreaming means actually let's ignore this by mainstreaming it. And I've also seen how that can happen in a meaningful way. So I think, at least if I talk about my experience in organizations, a big organization, I think there's some useful lessons that can be applied to how you make sure, in terms of accountability and process, that when you mainstream, that it actually is being mainstreamed and not forgotten.
So what did you find when you arrived at the UN? Maybe the honeymoon period is over. What are you thinking? Shock, horror, or I've got something I can work with here?
I think, you know, well, I've worked with the UN from the outside, but at least looking at UNISDR, there's actually fairly good gender balance within our own organization. About half of the organization is sort of 50-50 men and women. So in terms of that structural point, at least in UNISDR, that's great. There's still, of course, you know, with organizations, a lot of the gender insensitivity is not even self-conscious in some people in behaviors and the like. But on balance, I think, you know, UNISDR anyway is looking great, and there's great staff who are generally very sensitive to these things.
So it hasn't actually changed the way you function on a day-to-day level because the organisation was already pretty balanced in its gender and its approach to gender issues?
In a way, it hasn't. On the other hand, it's really important as the head of an organisation to, you know, this is something you don't just let go, you have to keep reinforcing it. And so it's very important for me, and one of the reasons I was keen to be a gender champion, it's very important for me to set the tone in the organization and to emphasize the importance of that topic and to also make sure that, as good as we are, that we continue making progress in this direction.
Women must be equal partners in peace efforts if post-conflict societies are to move forward. That's the message coming from gender advisers at 14 UN peacekeeping missions who met recently in Entebbe in Uganda. Claire Hutchinson is a gender adviser with the UN Department of Peacekeeping Operations in New York. She told Ratomir Petrovich about work aimed at ensuring women's voices are heard, both inside and outside UN peacekeeping missions.
So our work primarily is to make sure that women are engaged in all processes, that we have comparative look between women and men at whatever activities we do, be it military, police or civilian, and that the highest levels of mission take the responsibility to make sure that these activities of gender advisors are taken into account.
So you're more like towards inside and outside?
The responsibility of every peacekeeping mission is to make sure that everyone within the mission understands their role in terms of equality. And then we work 20% outside the mission with civil society, with partners, with our UN colleagues, to make sure that we are reaching out into the very communities we are deployed to protect. So we have to make sure that women from the outside are engaged. The biggest challenge is the lack of understanding that women and men are equal but different. and that you have to integrate women's voices as clearly and as concretely into all of the work we do. It's still not quite understood. It's still believed that gender is a separate issue, that it's an add-on, and that it's not necessarily a critical component of conflict analysis. We're trying to overcome that and get to a point where it will become the responsibility of all missions.
And what is your message?
Our message ultimately is that, you know, the role of women in all aspects of peacekeeping missions and all aspects of society is critical. That you can't have sustainable peace unless you have women involved in every part of society.
Good farming practices and solar energy have helped to save a women's agricultural cooperative in Senegal. The 65 members were about to give up on growing vegetables due to soil degradation caused by low rainfall. However, investment by the UN's International Fund for Agricultural Development, or IFAD, has brought solar-powered pumps and a steady supply of water to their community. Sam Cole has the story.
Here in southeast Senegal, these women are gathering the produce from their flourishing vegetable garden. But only a few years ago, they were struggling to grow anything at all due to soil degradation and lack of water, an effect of climate change, says Iwan Daiwa, president of this women's cooperative.
Before it was not easy. Due to lower rainfall, the soil became degraded and there was no more land to cultivate. We were going to move away, but now thanks to solar energy, we have enough water to develop our land.
This solar energy is used to pump water from the wells, ensuring that the 65 women in our cooperative have a steady supply for irrigation. This is part of a $30 million investment by the Global Environment Facility and the UN's International Fund for Agricultural Development. Working in a quarter of the country, they are improving irrigation systems and water management and introducing farming practices more suited to the climate, which is having a major impact on the communities, says the project's Abibulaya Ba.
With the adoption of good farming techniques that are more suitable to the changed climate, the project has helped improve soil fertility, which has led to an increase in productivity, permitting the community to improve their standard of living, their health, as well as their nutrition.
One technique to adapt to the changing climate is to diversify production. It makes for a more varied diet, and there is less chance of going hungry if one crop fails. Now with access to so much water, these women can grow a variety of vegetables. And they have also started fish farming, a new business that provides them with a good source of protein and another product to sell at the market. To make the most out of their yields, the women have also learned how to process their own food. Iwa says they can earn more and at the same time cut down on waste.
Before, parts of the garden crops were not sold and were likely to rot. But by processing products like tomato sauce or jams, we were able to make a profit and create a fund to finance other activities.
With this extra money, farmers can buy livestock and other foods. Iwa, who was widowed 5 years ago, can now look after the 21 members of her extended family, including 8 children and 8 grandchildren.
We have had record yields, and this allowed us to rebuild our house and buy sheep. Each woman in the group has at least 4 sheep, and some have bought oxen, others furniture. This project has had a very concrete impact on our lives.
In a nearby village, more suitable crops are helping other farmers like Adjan Dao make the most of their limited resources. Here, they are now growing a fast-maturing rice variety that can thrive with less rain.
Good agricultural practices and technologies have saved us. Now we have less good land, but with seeds that have short cycle and high yields, instead of farming many hectares, we farm a few and still get a large production.
Iwa and Adja are amongst more than 32,000 families who have improved their nutrition, health and incomes through these changes. And more importantly, they are now better equipped to face an uncertain future and to cope with the challenges of a changing climate. Sam Cole, United Nations.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Daniel Dickinson.